been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review show of the Best Stocks Now show that's heard Monday through Friday across different markets in the land, the United States of America. And today we're going to do a little bit of review of what we talked about this past week. We talked about a lot. It was a very busy week in the market. And if you were hoping for a Powell pivot, meaning that he would back off a little bit from the aggressive rate hikes of 75 basis points, no such thing in the offering. I did not expect them to back off. In fact, you know, inflation is still running very, very hot. We're going to talk about that a little bit today and how it impacts your portfolio and how it has impacted the market here so far. Anyways, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are a nationwide firm, virtual firm that we have clients all across, even in the North Pole. Barry, we got a client.
You pointed that out. Yeah, he moved to the North Pole.
He says he's busy in December. Don't bother him too much. Yeah, we've got the clients from the North Pole down to, you know, the South Pole. Not quite, but Miami area, Southern Florida, and everything in between. So we got a lot to talk about here today, including, you know, passive versus active investing, where we're at in the market here so far this year, where we still see the promising areas of the market. And where we still see the dangerous areas, the landmines of the market to continue to avoid. We're going to bring you up to date on the earnings picture. Earnings have been rising for the S&P 500 since 2009. That's why the market has been rising. But where do earnings go from here? Because that holds the key to the future of this market. And last but not least, the important factor that interest rates are in this current market. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I have been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I guess I pride myself as a stock picker. That's my real love and passion. I was a former analyst, used to write up research reports. Have a strong background in valuations of companies, of publicly traded companies. You don't want to buy overvalued merchandise. There was plenty of that back in 2020 and early 2021 during the COVID era. And we've moved away from that speculative area of the market and into other areas of the market. This year has been focused around a couple of sectors, really. And not much else working in the market this year, so you have to be in those right areas, and you have to be out of the wrong areas of the market. That is super important here in 2022 because there are some areas of the market, I would just say, that don't do well in a rising interest rate environment, and we certainly have that with the 10-year now over 3. And it is hurting a lot of sectors of the market, and other areas of the market are doing well in this inflationary environment that we are currently in. We write, myself, I don't know if I mentioned Barry. Barry is with us here today. He is our chartered financial analyst, CFA, and he has a very good outlook and take on the macro picture, the economy, all these numbers that keep coming in on a weekly basis. And I know today they got, we had an important inflation, or on Friday we had an important inflation number. What was that all about?
Yeah, that's in you know, really we've heard, you know, all we've heard about all week is, you know, Powell speaking on Friday and you know, and you know, kind of interpreting all the you know, economic releases for the week, how that was going to affect his speech. But yeah, that, you know, PC PC price index came in, at, you know, as expected, and that's a 6.3% year over year. That's a number. That's a number that the Fed, or you know, that's the Fed, Fed's number that they use, a 6.8 year over year actually. But that's the number that the Fed pays the most attention to. We always hear the CPI, PPI numbers, but the PCE price index is really kind of the one that they focus on. And you know, it's kind of a it still shows that we're of course still in an inflationary environment. I mean, it's up 6.8%. In June, excluding food and energy, it's 4.8%, which are both higher than in May. So you've got you've got these different numbers where things haven't changed much
no.
in terms of cooling down.
Inflation is still a big problem. And, the Fed is going to have to continue to hike rates at an aggressive pace to try to get ahead and try to knock down inflation before it turns into a raging forest fire like it did back in 1982. I did not expect them to back off at all from their rate hiking process. Okay, so now, in the face of rising interest rates, which we haven't seen for 40 years, rates have been coming down since 1982. Now here we are 40 years later in 2022, and rates have turned the corner and started to go up. That is a seismic change in the market, and you just can't sit and be passive and continue to do what you were doing. High-tech, high PE, long-duration stocks, or stocks that don't have a PE ratio, stocks that are way out there on the horizon, let's call them the innovation sector of the market, it gets hurt the worst. Okay, that's area number one to avoid. It's been hit the hardest. I mean, if you look at ARK funds, it's down about 75% from its high back in 2020. This year alone, it's down 53%. Is that because Cathie Wood's not a good stock picker? Well, no, but she continues to buy innovation stocks. That's what the name of her fund is. The problem is, those innovation stocks are long-term in duration. In other words, earnings, sales may come at some time down the road. And when interest rates rise, those multiples that we use to value companies, especially the discount rate, they hurt the valuations of the high PE, the long-duration stuff, the hardest. I mean, consider that the NASDAQ is down much further than the Dow this year. Why? Because the Dow is more of a short-duration, dividend-paying, earnings are here now, versus the NASDAQ, which is more long-term in duration. And speaking of long-term in duration, the same holds true for the bond market. The longer the duration of bonds that you own in your portfolio, including bond funds. If you own a long-term bond fund, you couldn't be in a worse place for
you
income.
You know it, because you can see it on your statement.
Yeah, your bond funds are getting creamed, and I know a lot of guys in my business, guys and gals in my business, and a lot of the firms across the country. We're not one of them. Have drank what I call the passive Kool-Aid. Oh, it's a nice lime green, nice and cool, keep you cool in the summertime, but not when interest rates are going up. The passive income model is basically an asset allocation model where you own 70%. Usually it's two things. Usually it's 60-40, 50-50, 70-30. If you're 70 years old, you're supposed to have 70% of your assets in the bond funds. No, not in a rising interest rate environment. There's more to it than just your age. And that's how the traditional models that I would say the majority of people in our business use now, I think it's greater than 50%, that enter your age into a model, a software model, and come out with an asset allocation. And it's 33 pages, and it's nice and glossy. Lots of pie charts, lots of colors. But at the end of the day, it's 50-50 stocks and bonds, 60-40 stocks and bonds, 70-30 stocks and bonds. But it only is taking into account your age. What about interest rates? What if the country goes into a recession, deep recession, and you're 50 years old and you're supposed to have 50% of your money in the stock market? During a deep recession, you really want to own, have 50% of your portfolio in the stock market? Wouldn't it be safer in cash at that point in time? Or might you even consider some inverse ETFs at a point like that? So we're a little more active.
Or
than
the types
passive
of stocks, or even the types of stocks that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, this year the market's down, but look at the energy stocks because of the conditions that we're in with oil at $93 a barrel and a shortage in Europe, a crisis in Europe. That's helped the energy sector. So we believe in being a little bit active in our management of folks' portfolios as opposed to just being passive and basing it on your age. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now Show Week in Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now Show Week in Review show. Well, we are. I've been in the business for 23 years as a professional money manager. Barry's been in the business about the same, two couple decades. And, you know, I started out working as an analyst and also a stock broker. We used to be called stock brokers, and people would say, well, you make us broker, right? And, oh, well, we work pretty hard trying to make you money. But, you know, I became a fee-based advisor only over 20 years ago. And I started my own firm in 2006. And I had my radio show was heard in many markets around the country, the Best Stocks Now Show. And I went the route of becoming a virtual firm very early on, having one main central office. And we communicate via telephone. We communicate via Zoom these days. I send out a weekly newsletter to all of my clients. That is my own internal research that I do every week on the market. It has all the top stories from the week, stocks that we've identified during the week that or stories that we think are interesting. That comes from our daily show that we do live here. I'm actually based in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. With Barry, and we have a staff for Gunderson Capital in Georgia, and we have staff in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we have clients in the North Pole. Pretty proud of that. That's kind of a feather in my cap, you know, when people say, well, where are your clients? Well, we even have a client in the North Pole, which is up in Alaska somewhere, North Pole, Alaska. Okay, so.
Footprint, Hawaii, I mean, Hawaii, North
Pole.
Well,
we got a lot of clients in Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii, North Pole, and in Miami. So you just,
yes.
You know, triangulating over here.
This year I'm going to take a sleigh ride up, you know, to do my workshop. I've also taught workshops all over the country.
Workshops, yeah.
Yes. Maybe we're trying to get down to Sarasota, right, in November, early November.
Yeah, that's
And then we're trying to get to Michigan in very early spring after I get my potatoes planted here in Charleston. And we're going to do our best to get to Minnesota, where we have a lot of clients. Still have a lot of clients in California. I was in San Diego for most of my life. And my wife and I just, you know what? What the heck? We moved cross country to Charleston area, which is a beautiful area of the country. A lot of history here. A lot of trees. A lot of good fishing and a lot of good restaurants. So, you know, we've really enjoyed it. We've kind of eaten at every place in San Diego. Being there for about 55 years of my life. Great city. But you know what? Just having a good time here in Charleston and have laid down our roots here. Okay, so we also write for Seeking Alpha. Seeking Alpha is one of the biggest financial websites in the world. And I would highly recommend, if you're involved in the market in any way, we have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that listen to us and subscribe to my materials, my live trading subscriptions, and my newsletter and whatnot. And we write for Seeking Alpha. I was actually recruited to write for them way back at the beginning when it first started. And I've watched it grow, and it's really quite a good website now. And is really, I think, the top website out there for stock information. And there's about 8,500 writers, something like that, for Seeking Alpha. And last time I looked, we were ranked about number 200. We've been as high as 130 out of 8,500, which puts us in the top 2% of all the writers out there. You know, one of our stocks that we recently wrote up is sure doing good, the Norwegian Equinor, the Norwegian oil and gas company. That thing's doing really well since we wrote it up. But anyways, they keep track of what we write up and how they do. The name of the site is Seeking Alpha, which means you're trying to find stocks that will do better than the market. You're trying to put together portfolios that will do better than the market. And our articles, I've been writing for many years, maybe 10 years now, I don't know. But our overall ranking on TipRanks, you can look this up yourself. Go to TipRanks.com and type in Bill Gunderson, and you'll see our current ranking, which last time I looked, it was right around 200 out of 8,500. And then they rank us against all of the big-time guys, all of the analysts, you know, the big mucky mucks from Bank of America and Wells Fargo, and we're in about the top 5%. And that's a bigger field. That's about a 16,000 person database. But like I say, we believe in being a little bit more active management as opposed to the passive rebalancing. You know, you become a year older, so you increase your percentage of bonds by 1%. You lower your percentage of stocks by 1%. What about interest rates? So we're in a rising interest rate environment right now. If you haven't noticed, bond funds are getting whacked. The other thing, there are times to have your offense fully on the field, all right, in the stock market. I pretty much believe in having your money in stocks for growth most of the time. But there's some exceptions, okay? I rode through the year 2000. I witnessed the NASDAQ. The valuation in the .com and the NASDAQ stocks was beyond infinity and beyond, I guess you would say. Something had to give big time there, and it did.
And it was a new industry. I mean, you had, you know, not only did you have, you know, PE or no PE ratio, but you also had you had execution risk. The internet was new. Like, there was all kinds of different types of risks in terms of if the companies were going to make it on their own.
So yeah, and you had a lot of companies that had no plans beyond the IPO. Let's just get it public. Of course, the insiders made out just fine, thank you, but the secondary owners on the stock market after it went public, they got clocked, and I watched the NASDAQ go down 80%. So I learned, you know, valuation is very important. The indexes haven't traded at 25 and 30 times multiples ever before, and they did in the year 2000, and I heard people saying it's a new paradigm, you know, the internet, you have very little overhead and all this and that. And then at the same time, I heard Greenspan talking about irrational exuberance. I lean toward the irrational exuberance side. And man, in the market, the high PE stuff got clocked. Okay, then in 08, you had a totally different kind of a crisis. You had a debt crisis. A financial crisis, a real estate crisis that nearly took down our financial system. The S&P went down 53%. So there's times when you want to have your defense on the field. What about now? Okay, in the second half, we're going to talk about today's conditions out there. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. This is the Gunderson Capital Management Best or Stocks Now Week in Review edition. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now Week in Review show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 23 years as a professional money manager, and Barry Kite here, chartered financial analyst. Let's begin the second half with where we're at in the market so far. In 2022. That tells us a lot about the overall market. And I looked at these. These are the major asset classes in the market, which, we look at the charts. I probably look at 1,000 charts a day, including these major asset classes, just so I know where we're at in the market at any given time. Okay, so far this year, we've got the S&P 500, which is kind of the benchmark that everybody looks at, down about 13%, something like that, since the beginning of the year. I'm going to blame rising interest rates. When we started this year, the P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 was up around 24. Okay, that's stretched way beyond the max. Generally speaking, the S&P 500 trades in the 16 to 18 times earnings range. But there's a domino effect. As interest rates go up, P.E. ratios shrink. And the higher the P.E. ratio, the more vulnerable you are to a sell-off in your stock or in your index. And that's what I was saying earlier. By contrast, with the S&P down 13% year-to-date, the NASDAQ's down over 20% year-to-date. Why is it down more than the S&P 500? Once again, I'm going to blame higher interest rates, shrinking those multiples. And, you know, to add a few more facts to that argument, earnings haven't gone anywhere, Barry, in 2022. The earnings picture when we began the year has actually improved just a little bit here in 2022.
Well, and that's what we were worried about going in, going into this last quarter, second quarter earnings was, the market had, largely the market downturn could be explained by interest rates and, P.E. ratios coming down versus where, the E or earnings, right, was staying the same or growing, as you mentioned. And we were, kind of worried about what kind of guidance CEOs were going to give for the remainder of the year, and overall they seem to be certainly a bit more upbeat than we were anticipating, and doesn't mean we won't see them down the road, but we didn't see really many earnings downgrades in terms of expectations.
Now that brings up another point. Well, let's focus on earnings just for a minute. Everybody looks for the magic. Indicator, whether it's Bollinger Bands or MACD, moving average crossovers, astrology, whatever it is, okay, looking for the magic elixir to figuring out the market. Well, you know what? In simplest terms, the market follows earnings. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow, the small cap, Russell 2000 follow earnings. And in 2009, the year when the recession finally bottomed out, the market finally bottomed out. Well, earnings also bottomed out at that point at $55 per share. I think it was 60 when all was said and done. I think it was $60 per share. That was the total earnings for the S&P 500. Where are we today? We're expecting $225 per share this year. So earnings have gone from 60 to 225 per share since 2009, and you put a multiple on that in the, let's just say, the 18 area, that's why the S&P 500 has gone up. Simple as that. Now, you have also had interest rates playing a role. Interest rates, because they were so low, allowed for these extreme multiples. We began the year at 24 times earnings. And the Fed knew they had a problem. You had bloated bond market. You had a bloated stock market. You had all this money in the system, and it's all inflationary in nature. And it started to bite. The CPI started to go up. Energy prices started to go up, which was another big factor. And now that's why you've got Jerome Powell on the warpath of raising rates to cool off the economy. That's not a good situation for the bond market. We've already talked about that. It's okay to own an individual bond to maturity, but if you're in bond funds, they are totally at the mercy of interest rates. And so are high PE technology. Some of the PEs and the technology stocks aren't way out there in the stratosphere, and they've held up better than most. But you get out into the spaceship stocks and the EV stocks that have never, or the electric vehicle that have never produced a car off the assembly line yet, things like that, Nikola, et cetera. That's also a very difficult place to be. Now, we know that earnings have been going up since 2009, and other than the COVID year, they did drop that year, but then they resumed their upwards march right after COVID started to move out of our country, and their earnings have been going up since 2009. Okay, so if stocks follow earnings, if we use a little bit of logic here, it's going to depend on the earnings next year and the year after that. And right now, the market is trading on those earnings expectations. What does the market expect? If you raise those expectations, the market's going to go up. If you lower those expectations, the market's going to react immediately. So that's one of the key parts of the newsletter every week. I do about one page in there devoted entirely to the macro outlook. That's where I publish my 12-month target price for the S&P 500, and I update it every single week.
That's one of the first places I go to in the newsletter each week, the technical charts, and then your technical chart section, and then I think it feeds right into the macro outlook. But
absolutely, I've learned as an analyst. Look, we look at three things. We look at valuation. Then we look at kind of momentum, sentiment. And then the third thing we look is charts of these things. Now, I was yesterday I had somebody, I have a subscription service on Seeking Alpha that I have a lot of subscribers to. And I'm in the chat room all day on Seeking Alpha. And, I did a little buying earlier this week. I added to some existing positions and whatnot. And somebody said, I thought you were bearish. I said, you know what? Earlier this year, yes. And we were on total defense for several months. We had inverse funds in place to protect, to hedge, if the market were to have gotten worse, which it could have. If earnings would have started falling along with the multiple, we'd have been in real trouble. And we did go into a very short bear market here. We've had two straight quarters of GDP that are down, meaning we're in a mild recession right now. But then, about 8 weeks ago, I said, look, the market is starting to turn. That downtrend is starting to abate. The PE has gone from 24 down to 16, which is, at the bottom end of average. This is a good buying opportunity right now, and we actually flipped to a buy signal on the market about 8 weeks ago. And one of the subscribers said, "When did you flip? I missed it." Well, I said, "You better check the macro outlook. If you don't check anything else, and it's not like every week it's changing. No, we're looking for big, long periods of time when we find things to be favorable, and usually we're on a buy signal all the time, but." once in a while. Look, at one point this year, the NASDAQ was down 34% from peak to bottom. And my system generated a sell signal. I have a proprietary system, beststocksnowapp.com, that ranks the indexes along with 6,000 stocks, mutual funds, ETFs. And it turned to a sell signal, I want to say back in February or March of this year. And we got very defensive. And then all of a sudden, things started to improve. The P.E. ratio dropped. But I did say that we're going to see some whipsaw action going forward, because it's going to be all about every word that comes out of Jerome Powell's mouth. And that's what's happened here in 2020. Isn't it amazing how one person can wield so much power in the market? Okay, now having said, now we're going to get real narrow in the final segment of the show. We've talked a lot about the areas to avoid. We still are fairly bullish on the market. We have a target price higher on the S&P than where it is today. But what are some of the best areas of the market right now? We'll be right back for the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Show Week in Review.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Week in Review with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite, Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com to, poke around a little bit of who we are and you can set up an appointment with us via the Zoom or telephone, 855-611-BEST, nationwide toll-free number, 855-611-BEST. If you become a client of Gunderson Capital Management, you can listen to you can hear from us daily. We do a one-hour show Monday through Friday, and then we're heard on our Saturday show in different markets around the country. I send out a newsletter, a very in-depth newsletter on the market every single Friday or every single Saturday to all of our clients and to our live trading subscribers. There's a big group of people out there in today's world that like to do it themselves, but they like to have a little bit of guidance along the way and know what people are thinking that are deep in the market every single day. You know, when I get ready to go out, I'm a weekend warrior fishing with my little boat here in Charleston. We have some pretty good fishing. I always look, I read the guide, the reports that the guides post. There's one guide in particular. He posts every single day. And see, he has the advantage of being on the water every day, knowing the conditions, knowing the bait they're chasing, knowing where they're congregating. The ocean and the bay, the harbor, the rivers. I live on one of the rivers that feeds into the harbor. That's a lot of area, a lot of territory to cover. The stock market is a lot of territory to cover. And, I'm kind of focused in. I'm going to try this weekend, I kind of know where they're at least the general area. That'll save me some fuel, which isn't cheap these days. But the stock market is the same way. It's a big ocean out there. It's a big river. It's a big harbor, whatever the case may be. I like to narrow it down first. Am I bullish or bearish on the overall stock market and or the bond market at any given point in time? That's what guides me, and it's based on earnings and earnings expectations going forward, which I track every single week. Then from there, the market breaks down into sectors. There's everything from the aerospace, the banking, the financial, the technology, basic materials, oil and gas, utilities, telecom, internet. It goes on and on and on and on and on. This is a year that favors lower P.E. ratio stocks, no question about it. And this is also a year where geopolitics around the world, geo-events around the world, have impacted several sectors of the market. Take, for instance, the oil and gas sector. you know what you were paying for gasoline not too long ago, and it looks like it's going to start going back up again because oil is back to $93 per barrel this week. But what happened in Ukraine with Russia invading Ukraine, cutting off that pipeline to Europe, now it's supposedly running at 20% capacity. They're scrambling to find fuel for this winter. I read this morning that the UK is facing a catastrophe this winter if something doesn't give, because prices are just skyrocketing. And what's at the center of it all? Natural gas. Not really crude oil so much, although it's still important because it's going to take a long time to transition to a green world. Natural gas has been approved by the European Union as a renewable fuel, and liquid natural gas in particular. So we've been highly focused this year in the any kind of energy stock that provides energy. And it just seems like they're all in play right now as everybody from California to Texas to Germany to France, they're scrambling to get enough energy. So we've been heavily involved in the natural gas stocks, which have done really well. That's probably the best sector in the market in 2022. The renewable energy stocks have done real well. The solar, hydrogen's becoming a player. Lithium, another source of energy. We heard this past week that California, after 2035, will not sell any new combustible engine cars. Everything new will have to be electric or, you know, non-polluting, no emissions whatsoever. And that puts big pressure on the battery makers, like Freer Battery is in play, Albemarle Lithium is in play. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Energy is a big, big factor here in 2022. Earlier this year, we were heavily involved in the fertilizer stocks. That area, guess what? Natural gas is at the root of that. Fertilizer, nitrogen, and everything comes from natural gas. And let's not forget that hydrogen is becoming a fuel now. You've got trains in Germany running on hydrogen. Guess where most of the hydrogen comes from? Natural gas. So that's been a very good area of the market. Agriculture has been a pretty good area of the market, as there's going to be shortages in food this year. Water's been a good area of the market. We own some water-related stocks, including a desalinization company. European energy stocks have done especially well for us this year. Equinor has been a big winner. Cheniere Energy in the America here, which specializes in LNG, liquid natural gas, loading it on ships for Europe. That's been a big winner. So those are just some of the areas. We do our own research. We dig really hard to try to find what's working in the market, where are the vibrant areas of the market, and stay away from the stuff that's just, you know, not doing well. And there's plenty of that. Almost anything that did well in 2020, the COVID year, we call that the speculation year, is not doing well anymore. Peloton, Teladoc, the Bitcoin miners, this kind of thing. So anyways, look, if you'd like to get our newsletter this week, it only goes to my clients and subscribers. But we offer 2 free weeks just so you can become acquainted with what we do. No obligation. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. And if you'd like to set up an appointment and talk about where you're at in your investing life, and maybe you're not happy, maybe you're trying to do it yourself. I don't know what the case is, but maybe we can help. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.